This is episode number 143 of the Android Buffet Podcast, recorded live, April 15th, 2013. In 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. And there will be no music today.
We are forgoing the normally jolly music.
Because it is not a jolly day.
It is not a jolly day.
For those of you who might not be aware, this is being recorded on Monday and earlier today in Boston, Massachusetts. At the Boston Marathon, there was an explosion at the finish line at the time of this recording. There is
a couple explosions.
Two, to be precise. And there were several fatalities and at least 100 injuries.
Yeah, so not a good day.
So we are continuing with the show. However, we are forgoing the music, which is unfortunately a shame because I had a whole musical number planned in honor of our new live stream. You know, we have a new home.
We have made some changes to the live stream, haven't we?
Well, it's now.
It should sound better, right?
It's 64 kilobits. And we also which have a new.
Which for voice is pretty significant.
Yes, that's double what we had before at 32 kilobits. Have you listened, Jerry, to hear how it sounds?
I have not. I should.
Well, you know, I have the stats up here. According to this, at the moment, there are two current listeners. And since I'm
would
not,
you be one of them?
No, since I'm not, I'm looking at the stats. Since I'm not listening and you're not listening, those two people must not be us. But we don't know who they are. But they're listening.
Well, I have to tell you, I'm listening to the stream now, and it does sound pretty good.
Yeah, we also have a new tenant. I was able to afford upgrading the stream without a significant increase in cost because we're going to be sharing it.
Ooh, with who?
Well, on Tuesday nights, this is going to be the Category 5 live audio stream.
Oh, really? Nice.
Yes, and I'm looking at getting some additional tenants to spread the cost around. I have a list here somewhere. Let's see. Where is it? On 10 a.m. on Saturdays, if we make it work out, it might be the Dr. Bill Bailey show.
The Dr. Bill Bailey show?
Yes, he records it. Then the Valley podcast records at 8:30 MST on Sundays. I'm trying to see if I can fill the whole week. So the goal is to share the time. I don't like that dead air. So how does it sound to you, Jerry, by the way? You like?
I think it sounds pretty good.
Yes. Also, I did some changes to you. You're no longer sharing with anybody else. I've put you on a dedicated system.
I have my own system.
Yeah, it's under the desk.
Under the desk?
Yeah, you're headless.
Well, that's not a very nice thing to say.
What do you mean? You know what a headless computer is.
Saying that I'm headless.
You're a headless computer.
That would imply I have no brain.
Well, you're a headless computer that's under a desk, and I'm running right now Skype, and eventually, if I get around to it, the next step will be us testing Mumble. And that's running. Mumble. Yeah, but it's running. What I did was I did an SSH into that computer, and I'm actually forwarding the Skype application using X-forwarding. I know you know a little something about that.
Yeah, I wanted to do some dev work on something that does not run on Linux or does not run on Windows.
Okay.
So I needed to do some dev work on a Linux system, but I like my big old monitors and my big old keyboard and I have a nice setup here for looking at pixels. Well, I learned about this thing called X-forwarding, X11 forwarding, and basically it makes the UI, the windows from the Linux box that I'm SSH'd into, show up on my desktop like they're normal windows.
They are normal
windows. It's amazing.
It's a great feature. That's what I'm using right now, and I didn't know that you would be using it at the same time. But I use it all the time when I want to have a headless system. So essentially,
well, normally if I have a headless system, I'll just SSH into it and use the command line.
Yeah, I
but,
do that as
what
well.
What I wanted an actual, you know, Windows.
Yeah, and that's what I'm doing for Skype because you can't run Skype at a command line. It won't run. So I essentially forwarded it so that I could see the interface from another computer. But all the audio and all the processing is being done at this little computer under the desk. So you now have
There are times when Linux is just cool, just amazing.
And that's a long-standing feature that dates back many years.
I'm impressed. I don't often say nice things about Linux, but in this case, rock on.
Okay. I'm glad that you approve of the rocking. So, you still there?
I am.
So since I rebuilt that and I repatched all the wiring, how do I sound?
You sound acceptable. You normally sound pretty good to me.
Do I sound just as good as normal, or do I sound better or worse?
I'm not really an audiophile.
I was just asking your opinion.
I would say you sound the same.
Okay. Anyway, so there's been a busy week. I did this.
I'm sorry.
Well, you know, I want to blame
I feel like I'm disappointing you by saying that.
Well, I want to blame all those people who sent me the emails, and so I spent my entire weekend making sure that the system would be perfect for you guys. So we got a few letters. Let's see here. We got an email from Curtis Massey of Madisonville, Kentucky. Hey guys, love the show. I'm glad you guys do what you do. Much of what you say goes over my head, mainly the computer and networking stuff, but it gives me topics to research after the show. I've only been listening for the last couple of months or so, but after the first show I heard, I have become a faithful listener. I download the first show through Pocket Casts. I had previously using Pocket Kicker Pro for my podcast, but it does not offer the sync feature that keeps my place in a podcast and allows me to pick up where I left off on one of my other Android devices. I like Pocket Casts fine, but if Pod Kicker Pro offered the sync feature, I would gladly switch back. I like the design better, and it seems easier to use, a bit more intuitive. I'm sure you already know about the buzz issue, and you'll probably have it fixed by the time you read this, but you did ask for feedback. I'd still listen even if every episode was buzzy. Thanks for the show and all the great information. I love your guys' sense of humor. You crack me up. I'm looking forward to the episode titled The Guru and His Harmonious Kazoo. Well, I was going to debut my kazoo reading playing this week, but it wasn't appropriate. So next week I will play the kazoo. Keep up the great work and know that you have many faithful listeners out there. Your friend and fellow geek, Curtis Massey, Madisonville, Kentucky. P.S. Tell us. Just tell us.
Okay, so there's one.
Okay. We also had an email from Hippie.
Tonight, Hippie?
Yes.
Is that spelled H-I-P-P-I-E?
Yes. Tonight's episode sounded like complete crap. Lots of static.
Well, we certainly hope this week is better.
Yes, I worked very hard. So please tell me, I'll be very disappointed. We also got some comments on a previous episode of our spinoff program, the Flying Bathtub Podcast.
Really?
Yes.
People want the flying bathtubs, huh?
Yes. Where we are.
We should do another flying bathtub episode.
We should. We should resurrect the brand. On episode 3, Is the Internet a Riot? There was a comment sent. I would first have to ask you if you're on city or well water. The treatment really depends on whether your water quality test comes back. Like, I would say a good pre-filter and carbon system will handle most city water systems. I can keep going. We also got, let's see, where was it?
For what it's worth, I use a water softener.
The shower should be connected the same. So essentially, they've decided that we are a site for people who are interested in plumbing. And they keep posting spam, which is actual responses from other blogs on the subject of plumbing. Anyway, I better clean those up. We also got a request from AndroidPit.com, which is a...
AndroidPit, huh?
They have an app store. They want exposure, and they want us to do a write-up for them. I wrote back to them telling them we were willing to talk about their product, but we're an audio podcast. So writing is not normally our thing.
Right.
Okay, so that pretty much covers everything. Other than my mention that we will be sharing a stream, that's part of a little thing that I handled on email. I emailed the Tech Podcast Network. Remember them?
I do.
Yes. So you don't have dine.com, but can you say tpn.com?
I don't know.
In the same tone?
Why would I say tpn.com?
Well, that's where you can find information on the Tech Podcast Network.
That's a cool URL.
I think they have they used to have tpn.tv. Do they also have tpn.com? I think they do.
They do have tpn.com.
No, they have tpn.tv.
TPN. Oh, somebody has tpn.com.
Yeah, but not them.
Technology Product News.
Yeah, we need tpn.
Oh, it's a a part.
Yeah, I'm thinking of tpn.tv or techpodcast.com. And that is where, of course, our friends over at the Tech Podcast Network, who were nice enough to join in on the streaming that I proposed, have their...
I will gladly say tpn.tv in my salesman voice next week. Okay. I'm just not feeling it today, this week.
I understand. But I do have to mention them, and I want to thank them for being willing to give this a shot. So we're going to be helping them out with that. Some news. The last Battle of Midway crypto analyst, Rear Admiral Donald Mac Showers, was interred at Arlington today.
Interred being another word for buried?
Well, he died several months ago, but he's finally being interred at Arlington. So, yes, buried.
Okay.
Are you familiar with the Battle of Midway?
I am.
Okay. Well, basically, if I understand it correctly, they determined that Midway was going to be attacked by... they essentially knew from their breaking of certain codes that... I think it was Site Alpha Foxtrot was going to be attacked, but they didn't know what Alpha Foxtrot was. So they started seeding fake stories and found out, by virtue of the stories that they leaked to the Japanese, which one was Alpha Foxtrot.
That's important.
Yes. Moving along, the DOJ has warned the FCC to limit the amount of spectrum that Verizon and AT&T can purchase at future auctions, because essentially they're getting the best spectrum.
And the of course other, they are. They have the biggest wallets.
Yeah, and that's a warning.
Kind of how it works.
Well, the DOJ has warned that that could be an antitrust issue. And they're warning the FCC that they have to make sure that smaller carriers have an opportunity to get decent spectrum in certain markets.
I have a problem.
What's your problem?
Yep, I have a problem.
Do you need a moment?
I need 15 seconds.
Okay. What do I do with those 15 seconds? Well, you know, I've been learning to play a musical instrument in order to be more entertaining on the show.
So, okay.
Oh, I was going to teach people about my new musical instrument. I've decided to take up learning a musical instrument, so I was going to talk about that while I was waiting for you. But we'll get back to the story.
Okay.
So, this includes Sprint, by the way.
What?
Sprint hasn't
Sprint done. Is going to be limited on the band, on the spectrum they can buy?
No, they're one of the ones who are having trouble buying spectrum.
Oh, yeah. That's kind of the way I viewed this was it's a good thing for Sprint.
T-Mobile, some of the smaller regional carriers. But again, we'll see what happens. Also, this other interesting story. EOMA68 cards could lead to upgradable tablets or other systems. So would you like to be able to...
Upgradable how?
Would you like to be able to pull a chip out of your tablet and put in a faster processor or more onboard storage or more RAM? See, this isn't so, you know, for most people, they're not going to do this. But what the advantage of with this is you end up with the opportunity for customizable tablets. So essentially, instead of having your tablet, you know, here, they have to produce four models. They produce one model and then there's just a service area where you pop in your CPU. So you just slide in one of these cards and you get your CPU and your RAM and your onboard storage, all the customizable functions. So you might be able to go in and upgrade that later if you could find the hardware, but this is mostly better for the manufacturing side of things.
I can't imagine it would be good for space.
It depends on if you look at the pictures, it doesn't look like it's that bad. It doesn't look like it's that bad in terms of space.
Well, I think it will be similar to, you know, laptops. You can upgrade parts of the laptop, you know, the communications, the networking cards, the processor, if you're adventurous, hard drives, all sorts of stuff. But the Mac, for example, the MacBook Air made it so you pretty much couldn't do that. And one of the reasons they did that was to make it smaller.
They also glued the whole thing together.
Yep. So you didn't have screws because screws take up space and the threads take up space for the screws. And I think you'll run into that same thing on phones, such that phones that use this embedded open modular architecture are significantly larger than phones that don't for the same functionality.
I still think there are opportunities here.
I would agree.
At least in the 10-inch space. I'm not sure about the 4 or 5-inch space.
But well, I think even when you look up the 10-inch space, any space that, I mean... Any place that you're not using for electronics, you can use for battery. And on a 10-inch, a battery's kind of, you know, pretty important because that big old screen takes a lot of electricity.
Well, again, battery developments continue. You never know what the future will bring.
At a snail's pace.
Now they should continue better. Oh, well.
Is there an article that is not in the show notes about battery advancements?
We've had several over the years. I mentioned battery
that actually made it into a product.
Okay, not that.
I'm just saying, if CPUs advance at the same rate as batteries,
Yeah.
Our calculators would still be the size of a refrigerator.
And my refrigerator can't even do math.
Really?
No.
Mine does math.
Really?
Yeah.
Not mine.
It converts Celsius to Fahrenheit easily.
You have a digital refrigerator?
Yes.
No, I'm not that advanced. I'm analog all the way. Although I do have a 3-year service warranty.
All right, moving on.
There's a great article on understanding the ruggedness of mobile devices. I recommend you check it out. It's in the show notes.
What does that mean, the ruggedness? Oh, is how that like Nokia?
Well, how they measure essentially how rugged your device is. So let's say that you took your device and threw it at the wall. There are numbers that indicate what type of impacts a device would be able to handle, what type of pressure, what type of anything. So it was a very interesting article.
If a 2-year-old is one of the ruggedness test.
Shouldn't it be?
Many years ago, I got my wife a Nokia phone, a ruggedized Nokia phone, that lasted and put up with lots of dropping and, even into water. It was, waterproof, etc., and survived a lot. It did not survive my 2-year-old at the time.
Okay. I accept that.
All right.
A hacker has claimed that an Android device can take over a plane by sending incorrect data to the flight computer.
That makes no sense.
Yes, so I've included an article where a pilot has refuted this. The FAA also refuted it.
So would certainly be a reason to turn off your cell phones. Of course, if you're going to try and take over the airplane, you're probably not going to listen to the turn off your cell phones.
One of the systems, and I'm not an expert on aviation. I admit that I have an interest in transportation. I can talk about trains for hours. I can talk about this about planes, but I have never flown a plane. But from what I understand, the vulnerability is in one of the ACARS systems, among other things.
ACARS.
Yes. Basically, you have several systems that communicate possible routes. They communicate things like altitude. They keep track of plane systems.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of these do a lot of ground to plane transmissions. So if I understand it, the idea was that the Android device could essentially manipulate information being sent to the flight computer. Now, the plane would technically react to that, at least in theory, but the pilot wouldn't. So the fact that you have somebody there who is aware of what's going on makes it very unlikely, unless you have a pilot who's not paying attention to anything, which is exactly who you don't want in the cockpit, that something's going to happen. So worst case scenario, if the computer starts spitting out garbage, which has happened a few times over the years, the pilot will take full control of the aircraft and start having it operate on manual control. A large percentage of takeoffs and landings are actually done manually anyway.
Sure, of course.
Well, that's why you put the pilot there. If the computer could do everything, then you would just, the pilot would be sitting on the ground doing nothing.
Well, I think the computer can do everything.
Theoretically, but they'll never have a totally unmanned commercial plane, in my opinion.
Okay.
Partially, the public wants
the computer is capable of it. The computer is probably a better pilot than the pilot.
No.
As far as controlling the airplane.
Not exactly.
More precisely?
In some cases, yes. But you have to understand that computers don't have the ability to gauge the environment the same way that a human being can. So computers could drive you into a mountain if that's what the computer thought you were supposed to be doing. Whereas a human being wouldn't do that.
But it would drive you into the mountain very precisely.
Yes. However, the large...
And if you were navigating, say, a ravine, a valley, the computer, if it, with good enough radar, could navigate that much more safely than a pilot could.
Also, bear in mind that the majority of airplane accidents are ruled due to human error. So more often than not, the reason why planes stop functioning properly or crash is usually a human being at some point in the process.
Sure. Human beings make mistakes.
Yes, it's not always, by the way, it's not always
the pilots. Improperly programmed computers also make mistakes.
Yes, but the idea is that if everything works the way it's supposed to, the pilot should notice that there's incorrect data coming from the computer.
Oh, yeah.
And should take full manual control. That hasn't always happened, though, historically. In many accidents, the human being has relied too much on the computer, even though the computer is giving out garbage, and that has actually caused problems. Anyway, since we're not an aviation show, I'll save that for the next episode of Aviation Buffet.
Oh, I would like to just say,
yes,
I am fully in support of pilots in the cockpit, because I think it's important to have a human in there, someone that can interpret signals and someone there that can say, hey, this shit ain't right.
Yes.
I mean, exactly like the, exactly as you're saying, the misinformation that's coming from the ACARS and realize, you know what? The computer can't do the right thing right now, so I'm going to take over. I think that's extremely valuable.
Yes. And it works better if you're on a Boeing aircraft.
If you're what? Oh, yes.
Airbus doesn't like that as much. That's essentially the different schools of thought. Boeing automation allows you, the pilot, more control, whereas Airbus aviation does allow the computer more control under certain circumstances. If okay. I understand my technology correctly. Moving along, Verizon has pushed the upgrade cycle to full 2 years for new phones. However, the rumors is they're going to offer a device installment plan.
What does that mean?
So the same way that T-Mobile is allowing you to pay for your device in installments, the rumor mm-hmm. is that you could get a device earlier, but you pay for it in pieces. But that doesn't really help me on the pricing because I'm assuming they won't lower the price on the plan. So we don't have details on that yet. But basically, what we do know now is that instead of being able to get it at the current 20 months, which replaced the previous, I think it was 18,
mm-hmm.
you will now have to wait a full 24 months before you can get a discounted phone.
Cool.
That's cool. That sounds...
I think so.
Why?
Because it's bad for Verizon, so more people will come to Sprint.
Okay, that doesn't seem like a cool reason.
Well, you know, if you're on Verizon, it's not cool.
Okay.
But if you're on Sprint, then you want Sprint to survive. And to survive, they need more subscribers.
Okay. It may make me leave Verizon.
Will it make you come to Sprint?
Probably not.
Ah.
We'll see. Most likely not. Anyway, let's see what else we have here. Oh, yes. Plan your digital afterlife with the Google Inactive Account Manager. So it doesn't work for apps accounts. But if you have a standard Gmail account and you want to tell it what to do if you suddenly cease to be able to access your Gmail, such as if you're on a plane taken over by a hacker with an Android device. Actually, that's not very likely. Anyway, but should you be unable to access your account for a certain period, you can instruct it to do things such as delete your account, delegate access to your account to another individual, send out a message.
I think this is important. I hope this isn't another project that Google just abandons.
Well, it's part of their settings manager. So the idea is that they're trying to address the issue of what happens to an account once it's no longer used. Facebook has gotten a lot of flack over that issue.
Sure.
Have you read about what Facebook does?
I have not. What does Facebook do?
Oh, they lock your account and turn it into a memorial account. So people can post memorials.
Well, I don't think that's as big a problem.
Well, no, for some loved ones, they don't like that, and so for some people appreciate that. However, Facebook doesn't really make it easy should you be one of the groups of loved ones who don't want your loved one's Facebook account to continue until the end of time.
Well, for me, it would be about, there's a lot of stuff in my Gmail account that my wife would need if I wasn't around.
Yeah, the idea.
So I think this is, I mean, you know, Gmail tends to have a lot of important information in it. So loved ones being able to access that after you pass, I would consider extremely important.
Yeah, and I sort of like the way they're doing it. They're giving you the choice. You can have the account deleted. You can have the account delegated. You can have a message sent out. I prefer that, again, to the Facebook approach, which is they're going to lock your account and not let anybody access it, and it's a permanent memorial to your passing. Well, I have this problem with a cousin of mine.
Mm-hmm.
He passed away rather suddenly.
Mm-hmm.
And he still has an active Facebook account. So every so often I get a friend request since I signed up.
From him?
Well, I signed up after he passed away.
Right.
But I'm connected to people who are connected to him, being as I'm related to him. And I keep getting, you know this person, he'd like to be your friend. I find it especially creepy that a deceased person keeps asking to be my friend.
That would be creepy. And depending on how close you were to him, that could be psychologically traumatic.
Well, I really don't want to talk to his widow and say, could you please talk to Facebook?
Right.
Because she may have her reasons for wanting it to stay on. I figured I wasn't going to really, you know, broach the issue. But, mm-hmm. you know, I understand where people are coming from on both sides. And I think that any good policy has to have the right to say, before I die, I can say, when I die, I want my account deleted, or I want my account saved and delegated to somebody else, or I want my account locked up and an email message sent. So you just give people the choice before they die. Then hopefully you rectify the situation with after they die.
Sure.
Well, that's a hope, at least. Let's see here. Verizon has reports that video accounts for 50% of mobile network traffic.
No.
And growing. Well, specifically...
Who watches video on their... That's like...
People do. I don't, but... You know, I have it once or twice. I have never consistently watched video on a phone. I even haven't consistently watched video on my tablet. I've done it a few times when I've gone somewhere, but most of the time I prefer something bigger. I think the last time I watched a video was when I was on an airplane. But then I wouldn't be using mobile data, would I?
Nope. I just think it would be extremely... It would be a poor experience.
Well, no, there are people who watch Netflix on their phones. I know this for a fact. I've talked to people who do this. I can say I'm not one of them. You know, if I am going to watch video on my mobile device, I've probably downloaded it in advance. But there are people who do this. So if you happen to be one of the people who do this, why don't you drop us a line? Tell us about your experience. Do you do a lot of mobile streaming of video? And do you think Verizon's number is correct? 50% and growing.
I would suspect that even if a very small percentage of people watch video on their phones, it could easily add up to a disproportionate amount of data.
Yeah, I just want to hear from people who've done it, who do that regularly. Speaking of video, Qualcomm thinks that LTE broadcast video will work where Flow TV failed. Do you remember Flow TV, Jerry?
No.
It was this limited time thing where it was essentially a TV over a mobile band.
Mm-hmm.
It failed miserably. But what they're thinking is this new thing that they're going to support LTE broadcast, which uses the existing LTE protocol, could actually work. So would you want broadcast television on your mobile device?
Sure, if it worked.
Okay.
Well, no.
Well, I'm saying it's in the same category as on-demand.
You know, I don't watch broadcast TV now. I don't have... That's not...
Well, I'm not talking about broadcast TV in the sense of over-the-air television. I'm talking about any sort of television broadcast over your phone.
Sure.
I'm thinking news. Because everything else I would rather have on-demand. The only thing that I'd rather have live is breaking news. Maybe the weather. But isn't the weather breaking news?
It depends on how bad the weather is.
But you understand what I'm saying. The things that I would want live would be things that are happening now. And that's usually the news. Everything else I can wait till later and watch it on demand.
So you don't want to watch Supernatural live?
I don't watch Supernatural on demand. I'm sorry, I've never watched Supernatural.
It's a great show.
Well, you know what I was watching yesterday that I tried out?
What's that?
This new show on BBC that was sort of interesting. Orphan Black?
Never heard of it.
Well, no, it was on right after Doctor Who.
Ah.
Have you ever watched Doctor Who?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I am up to date on Doctor Who's.
So there was a show on after Doctor Who, so I thought I would give it a try. The premise of the show is that a woman discovers quite accidentally that the woman who just committed suicide a few feet from her is a dead ringer for her, and there are a lot of others. So there are all these people around the world who are exact duplicates of her.
That's kind of creepy.
And it's her essentially joining with some of these other people who are her, but different versions of her trying to figure out exactly what's going on. And
what's the name of the show? Orphan Black?
Yeah. Comes on after Doctor Who. And she's also assumed the identity of the person who committed suicide.
10 episodes.
I only watched a couple. I don't know if I'm going to like it in the long run, but it seemed interesting the first 2 episodes.
They're currently in between seasons.
Really?
No, they're not.
Anyway.
Nope. Actually, they've only aired 3 seasons, or 3 episodes.
Yeah, I know. Those were all that was on demand.
I have to check that out. I'm going to add that to my favorites inside of TV Favs.
Okay, well, tell me what you think. I haven't decided yet, but I think it's interesting so far.
There TV show favs. I'm sorry.
Yeah, there are shows that I've watched for a couple of episodes and then decided that it wasn't worth it.
Sure.
Several of those have been on BBC America. I watched Copper for a few episodes, which was set in 19th century New York. And I usually like New York shows. I just couldn't get into it.
Sarah Michelle Gellar just did a show that...
Ringer.
Was like that for... Ringer, yeah.
Yeah.
I watched a couple episodes of that and gave it up. And I normally like Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Well, maybe she'll do something else. You never know.
I don't think she'll ever be able to match what she did in Buffy.
Probably not. Let's see. A user tried to figure out why IP calling was removed from a Sprint phone, namely the Galaxy S3, during a recent update.
And did he find out?
No. Apparently Samsung said that it was Sprint. Sprint said that it was Samsung. Gotta love it. Moving along. Microsoft-led group.
What a teaser.
For what?
That was not a cool... That's like... now I'm all in suspense about why was it pulled off? Will we ever know?
If we find out, I'll tell you. So far, no. Let's see what else we have here. Yes, Microsoft-led group files European antitrust complaint against Android and Google.
Isn't that funny?
The group called Fair Search, which had previously filed antitrust complaints against Google Search, accused Google of predatory distribution of Android at below cost. And Tim Berners-Lee, who's well-known in his advocacy of various things, claimed that this could be an attack on open source itself. So essentially, if you can claim that open source is predatory distribution and free is predatory pricing, then you might be able to make it illegal to distribute or participate in open source projects.
Wow, wouldn't that be crazy?
Well, there's only one major corporation that would benefit from a decline in open source. Guess who that is?
Apple?
Microsoft.
Oh.
Apple would not technically benefit. Apple is not necessarily a friend of open source in a technical sense, but Apple would not directly benefit.
No, I understand. I was just trying to be funny.
Yeah, remember, the Apple operating system is based on FreeBSD.
Yeah, but I think Microsoft would benefit because most of their proprietary software has free or open source alternatives. And if the open source alternatives were not there, then Microsoft would make more money.
Yeah, they're the...
Whereas that's not the case with Apple.
That's pretty much the issue.
Yeah.
People don't install Linux on Apple computers. They install Linux on PCs, which would otherwise run Windows.
Yep.
The New York Police Department is equipping officers with Android smartphones as an alternative to their older patrol car laptops. So now you'll be able to pull out your smartphone with your special app and look up how many arrests, let's say, some guy named Jerry Jones has had in New York City, along with his mugshots. Does that sound like a good idea, Jerry?
Sure.
Okay. There are a lot of snarky comments in there. But mostly...
I can only imagine.
Well, you know, whenever...
People tend to be very anti-police.
Well, I'm not anti-police. Admittedly, like any other government organization, the police have to be monitored one way or the other.
Because yes.
There is the potential for abuse once you give people any authority. That's the whole checks and balances concept.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, the idea of making it easier for officers to find out information that would help them do their job, that sounds good to me.
I concur.
Okay, a breakdown of the Android tablet market shows that 5 of the 6 top tablets are 7 inches. So the question is this a form factor issue or is this the price point?
Price point.
Are you sure?
That's my personal belief.
So you'd rather have a 10-inch than a 7-inch tablet?
Oh, for the love of God, yes.
Okay. Well, there are pros and cons. I actually like a 7-inch tablet because I can fit it in one hand, whereas I need a 10-inch tablet in two hands. So if the purpose of it is reading, not... You may not know this, but I do a lot of reading on my portable device.
Mm-hmm.
I like being able to hold it in one hand because in the other hand, I can hold my beverage.
So, I'm sorry, what was the title for that? 5 of the top 6
are 7-inch. So I'm saying there
and
are...
Yet.
So there are... I've had a 10-inch tablet and I've had a 7-inch tablet. The 7-inch tablet is really good for reading.
And yet 4 of the top 8 are 10-inch tablets.
How can 4 of the top 8 be 10-inch if 5 of the...
Crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, I have to look at that more closely. Because that doesn't make
sense.
Because
it's a tie for spot number 8.
Oh, okay. I have to look at that again. Either way, I think there's something in a 7-inch tablet. I don't think that they just sell well because of the price point. I think that's part of it in terms of barrier for entry. But I think that it's very good because it makes it much easier to carry around. I think that the size in terms of portability depends on what you want to do with the device. So if your goal is information consumption, then a 7-inch tablet has its advantages.
Pixels matter to me.
You can have an HD screen that's 7 inches. Size and resolution are two different things. By the way, did I say hi to Murph?
But you can have more pixels on a bigger screen.
Yes, but did I say hi to Murph?
You did not. I did.
Hi, Murph. Welcome aboard.
Oh. I don't think he's listening anymore. I think he's mad at us.
Why? Because he doesn't like the 64 kilobit high quality stream?
Because you didn't say hi.
Hi, Murph. Excuse me, but do you know how many times I've spent time with Murph? Many more times than you have.
I bet you have.
Yes, I saw
him. But today you shunned him.
No, I saw him in Boston. I've seen him in Boston once. I saw him in Worcester twice. I've seen him in Charlotte, North Carolina. I've seen him in Spartanburg, South Carolina.
And yet today you shun him.
Well, he says he's not mad, but he does prefer a high-res screen. Moving along here, So there was a great article asking why lost phone services aren't built into Android as opposed to being a third-party service. So Google has
That's an excellent question.
Well, Google has Latitude. They're tracking you all the time. You can keep track of your location history. Why is it that you can't wipe your phone or remove your data through your Google account? I thought it was an excellent question. That's why I put it in the rundown.
I got no good answer.
Okay, well, here's another one for you. A lot of good questions this week. Could the increasing size of smartphones result in a decrease in market share as tablets and smartphones converge? So will eventually you have a 7-inch smartphone?
I won't. I'll have a 5-inch smartphone and a 10-inch laptop or
tablet. Yeah, but see, this is the question.
And a 15-inch laptop.
See, this is the question. What it is people have been buying 7-inch tablets, and then the phones have been slowly creeping up towards 7 inches. So, well, at one point, people who want that type of form factor, let's say the portrait style as opposed to the landscape style, will people eventually just, those two markets will merge? So that wasn't really the question of the original story, but I wanted to phrase it this way. The original story had a slightly different focus, the one that I would link to.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is, will eventually this cause the difference between the two to be eroded? And eventually what you'll have in your pocket will be a 7-inch tablet that just happens to make phone calls. You can think about that, Jerry, if you like.
Yeah.
Okay. Google wants to be the domain registrar for .search, .app, and .cloud and turn them into open redirects. So essentially, different services would be able to register to be your .search in your URL bar. So you could put in .search, and if you registered Google as your search provider, that would come up. If you registered Bing, it would be that, etc. Sounds like an interesting idea.
It doesn't make sense to me.
Well, it sounds like an interesting idea.
So would you type in, like, if I wanted to do a search for Android, would I type in android.search, and then it would route to Google or Bing a search for Android and return results?
Well, the idea is they want to create a standard that would allow you to register your service provider for these things. And, you know, think about it. How many people do you know who use Google as if it was a URL bar? So they don't type in, let's say, they don't type in Facebook. They go and they search for Facebook, and then they get the Facebook link in Google and then click through.
Yeah.
So that's the same idea. They want to register .search, and it would essentially go to your search provider.
Interesting.
Okay, will Android-like rich notifications be the future of Chrome on the desktop? A lot of good questions this week.
So, I hope so.
So will the same thing that you see on Android be everywhere?
I think Android does an awesome job at notifications.
Yep.
They do better than any – I mean, Android as an operating system does better than anything else I know of at notifications. As such, I believe it could be something to be emulated.
Let's move along here. Google purged 60,000 spam apps from Google Play.
Yay!
And a new version of Google Play with a simplified design launched. Have you gotten that, Jerry?
I have not.
Okay.
I don't like it when they change Play.
Why not? See, I have it on one device, but I don't have it on my other device. So my phone has...
At least they're going back all the way to 2.2.
Yeah, but if you look, it's mostly the design. So it's essentially gone from those shades of gray that it had to a more whitish design that looks more like the Google Now type thing. So I sort of appreciate that they're trying to standardize on a common design language for all their products. They just can't seem to decide what it is because it seems to change every year.
I just wish it would. I don't like that. To me, Google Play is about apps. I'm not big on the movies and music and books and magazine from Google. And the recent versions of Google Play tend to...
emphasize?
Yes. Excellent word.
Okay. Well, I understand, but that's what they're trying to get you to do.
I know. That doesn't mean I want to. That doesn't mean I want to.
Okay. You know, there's one very good thing, Jerry. You don't have to.
That's right, and I'm not gonna, because I'm a rebel.
Yes. You're a rebel who uses something other than Google.
No.
Okay. Rebel without a media file? I don't know. Anyway.
I'm going to be a rebel without a search engine.
Okay. Chatheads has come to Facebook Messenger. So I tried out Chatheads. I'm not going to try out Facebook Home, but I did want to see what Chatheads look like.
Mm-hmm.
It's essentially when somebody wants to chat with you, a little box appears over whatever app you have that you can dispel.
Oh, how obnoxious.
I turned it off. But I got somebody to send me a Facebook message so I could test it.
That would, I guess, you know, for my wife and daughter who regularly chat on Facebook. That would be a useful thing.
Well, no, having Facebook Messenger is potentially useful if you chat on Facebook. The chat heads, would you want to be in an app and have this little circular box show up with a picture of somebody indicating to you that there's a message, or are standard notifications fine for you?
For me, I would prefer standard notifications, even better, no notifications.
So do I. If I want somebody to talk to me, I'd rather it appears in the notification bar rather than overlaying part of my app.
Yes, because who knows what you might be doing.
Yes, I played with chat heads and I found them wanting.
You know, I could be playing a game of, say, Pac-Man, and the pop-up just makes me die. I would be unhappy.
Well, what if the pop-up turns into Pac-Man? So instead of Pac-Man being a giant mouth, it's a picture of one of your friends going around gobbling things.
Probably okay, that would be creepy.
Probably wouldn't happen. Anyway, moving along, Hotspot Control is a new app by Chainfire, who is responsible for one of the root apps. And what it does is it reactivates and adds certain options that are often removed from carrier devices for managing hotspots. So it doesn't actually allow you to do hotspotting if your carrier doesn't permit it, but it allows you to customize the options of such. Since I don't do hotspotting, I didn't test this, though.
So I'm confused as to what it does.
For example, let's say you wanted to activate your phone to act as a hotspot, but your phone didn't have a SIM card in it. So you're using the phone as if it was just a, let's say, a player.
Okay.
Some of the ROMs that were delivered in stock from the providers such as Sprint and so on, I'm using Sprint as an example of a provider,
sure,
will not allow you to activate the hotspot feature if there's no SIM card. Now, the reason why you'd want a hotspot is you want to use your old phone as a wireless access point, but that option isn't there. So essentially things like that to add and configure secondary settings. So this is an advantage to those people who have that. So essentially, you can configure the access point, name, password, encryption. Basically here, on some devices that don't have cellular data connection capability, the hotspot will not give out IP addresses.
Sure, because where is it going to get data?
Well, in this case, the reason why the developer created it is to create a private network without an actual internet connection in the field between a number of devices. So someone decided that the device shouldn't allow it to create an access point if there's no data connection. So the guy created it basically so that he could create a private network between devices in the field.
Okay, I can see the use in that.
So that was basically what he was trying to do, and that's what he did.
Sweet.
Then we get to Facebook Home, which was described as the perfect tool for those who don't actually do anything with their phones. I just like that title. So if you don't do anything with your phone but Facebook, install Facebook Home.
I have no comment.
Okay. But it's an interesting idea. So you don't have to create your own phone. All you have to do is create an app that takes over your phone so completely that it's as if you created your own phone. Isn't that a brilliant idea, regardless of what you think about it? Why create a phone? People already did that. Just create something that turns your phone, turns any phone that's compatible, into your phone.
I have no comment.
Okay. Here's another launcher. Everything.me is a dynamic launcher that customizes based on what you tell it you want.
And how do you tell it what you want?
You enter an information either by voice or by text.
You could tell it, be Facebook Home.
Well, the example they have is pizza. So you tell it you want pizza, and it will customize your phone in pizza mode, which will be, it'll show you your pizza apps. It'll show you nearby pizza places. It'll essentially integrate everything.
Interesting.
I thought Sweet. It was an interesting idea.
Unique, interesting, different. I'm not going to use it, but I fully support it.
I support different, too. Then there's Cinegram, which finally arrived on Android. It allows users to turn portions of a video into a single still image, leaving only a small area of the picture with movement.
Cinegraphs.
You've seen these things, Sweet. Right?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is a very popular one, and it's now on Android. Foxfly awesome. Now works with multiple Motorola phones running Jelly Bean. So if you want to have hotspot without root on a device where you haven't paid for it, this is your option. I don't do that, but I got a great deal at Walmart.
Still doesn't work on my HTC, does it?
Well, I told you to do what I did. Go to Walmart, get a cheap hotspot that only charges you by the megabyte, not by the month, and that runs on the Sprint network. Because Sprint will sell its service to anybody. They're very promiscuous, you know. Anyway, Burner is now available for Android. We mentioned this a while back that it was coming.
Right.
Where you can create disposable cell phone numbers.
I like it.
Okay. Are you going to use it?
You know, I don't have a need for it, but...
I want to have a need for it.
I want to have a need for it. I just don't.
I could see one or two random things I'd need it for, but I can't see any constant need. Then, of course, back to the chat heads. There's an option. Here's overlays, which can float any widget over an existing app. So what do you think about that, Jerry? Would you want to float a widget over an existing app?
I could see that.
Well, see,
there's some things that I would like to be continuously visible. And, you know, while I'm reading a book or browsing the web, sure, I could see that being useful.
Yeah, I have maybe to actually,
while I've got the navigation up.
Yeah, and the pro version allows profiles. So certain applications, you'll have specific widgets popping up. And it has Tasker integration.
Gotta love that. I need to update to the latest Tasker.
So I think it's an interesting idea. You want to have a widget float on top of something.
Sure, that's what widgets do.
Yeah, there's also things, you know, what if you wanted... See, I have to actually look at this because what I'm curious about, can I dispel the widget, let's say, into the notification bar and then bring it back later? You understand what I mean? I want to get rid of the widget, but I want to be able to get it. Can I, you know, move it into the notification bar, put it there, and then bring it back when I want it?
That would be a very useful feature.
Well, maybe that's in the Pro Edition. What's in the Pro Edition? Unlimited application profiles, creates overlay profiles, Tasker integration, future features, and unique in-house overlay. Can't explain how awesome it is. It's a shame so few people are upgrading to Pro. Okay. Like other posters, I am surprised that more people haven't bought it. It's in its early days, I guess.
Sure.
Maybe I will try it on my phone. At least the basic version and see if I like it.
That's a, I don't know. The more I look at this, the more I like it.
I like the idea. Anyway, that brings us to the end of our list, and it's almost 11 o'clock. So any final thoughts? Or... Yes, we're doing very well today. A few things, Jerry, that I want to go over with you quickly. I hope you enjoyed the new
experience. Am I being fired? Are you firing me?
No, I just was going to say I hope you enjoyed the new experience. We'll continue to get better.
It seemed quite flawless.
Yeah, I have to work on a little of the audio tweaking. And in the future, we're going to try Mumble, which is on my list. And other than that, I hope everybody at home enjoyed the stream. And I hope when I put out this episode, nobody complains about static or poor quality.
We hope so. We hope this week is better.
I'll be doing multiple tests before I release it this time. And I'm here in my new podcast studio. I spent an entire day moving all the furniture to untangle the wires so there would be no hum on the line. I no longer have an L-shaped desk.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I turned it into a non-L-shaped desk.
I know. I'm sorry.
Why?
I like L-shaped desk.
I don't have one anymore.
I know. I'm sorry.
Why?
Because you don't have an L-shaped desk anymore.
I can do it again.
But you don't have one now.
Yeah, but all my furniture is modular. I move it around all the time. I could make an L again. Anyway, my obsession...
But you are currently L-less, and that makes me sad.
I'm sorry. What if I were U'd? My desk turned
from L-less. U's are better than L's.
Okay. I always feel like I'm in a cave, though. Anyway, a few things. We are, of course, a member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's there. We've mentioned them, and we want to thank them for whatever it is they do. Many things. I'm not going to talk about it right now, but you can find out more there. If you want to leave us a voicemail, that's 2012-WENICA. If you'd like to leave us an email, that's podcast@androidbuffet.com. Or the contact form on the website, you can tweet us. You can visit our Google Plus page run by the intrepid Kevin McLaughlin, who also thought there was bad audio last week. He sent a tweet. You can visit us on Facebook and like us. Really like us. We now again have advertising banners available should you want to put an advertising banner on your website. They were drawn by me, so please forgive the fact that they are not that pretty.
Oh, dude, I think you did a great job.
Yes, I think I did a great job for somebody who has no artistic talent. They're decent. Anyway, moving along from that, there are always more improvements coming, and we always continue to try to make this show better. So we look forward to hearing your feedback about anything but the audio. You've given us your feedback on that. Give us some feedback on something else. Any questions? Jerry?
I don't have any questions. I'm questionless.
Bueller? No, he's not here either. And that brings us to the end of our podcast. We hope to see you next week, where we will once again provide you with the best in Android Buffet entertainment. Right, Jerry?
Yes.
There are no other Android Buffets out there that even compete with us.
Right? That is correct.
Okay. So we'll see you next week, and we look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for tuning in. This concludes our broadcast day. Say goodbye, Jerry.
Bye, folks.